Well, I must confess tonight, and I don't know if this is the kind of confession where you surrender your man card or not, but I've just been fascinated with the changing of the monarchs in Great Britain. And I'm certain part of that is just the history. It hasn't happened in 70 years. But I love all the tradition and pageantry. And I've learned something about a constitutional monarchy, which is in place there. That means that the king is the head of state, but not the head of government. And so here's a phrase I've heard over the last few days. The king reigns, but he doesn't rule. Now I want you to contrast that with our king, King Jesus. He reigns in heaven. He's at the right hand of the throne of God. But our king rules over his kingdom. He bought that right with his blood. He purchased us. And so he gives us the words for life eternal. And he commissioned his apostles to go and preach the gospel of his kingdom. And I want to read some words of one of those apostles, the apostle Peter, in his first epistle in the first chapter. I want to invite your attention to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read beginning at verse 13. So here are the words given to Peter by the king. Therefore, gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So Peter quotes from the book of holiness, the book of Leviticus. That last statement is found in Leviticus 11, 44 through 45, chapter 19 and verse 2, 20 and verse 7. God said, be holy as I am holy. He wanted a people who were peculiar and special to him. That's what the word holy means. It means separate or other or distinct. So when you think of things like the Holy Bible or the holy place or the Holy One of Israel, that means there are none like that one. And he says that you are to be holy. It's what our king says about the citizens of his kingdom. You are to be holy. And you say, well, I can do that just so long as I get to set the standard of holiness. I mean, I'm holier than him. I'm more holy than she is. That's not the standard to which we are to attain. It's kind of the same principle as when Jesus told the apostles in John chapter 13 and verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And you say, well, that wasn't a new commandment. That goes all the way back to Leviticus. Love your neighbor as yourself. Why would Jesus say that that's a new commandment? Because he says the newness is you love one another as I have loved you. And that's a new standard. They were to love each other in the same way that Jesus had shown love to them. And that's what's said in our passage for tonight. You be holy, and here's the standard, as God is holy. Now, there are some attributes of God that we cannot attain to. He's all-powerful. We can't be that. He's all-knowing. You may be married to someone who thinks that, but we can't be that. He's all-present. And we cannot be that. But we can be holy as God is holy. There were two men in Scripture who were given the opportunity to have the curtain of heaven pulled back and to see into the throne room of God. And in both cases, Isaiah 6 and verse 3, Revelation 4 and verse 8, Isaiah and John observed the same thing. They heard this refrain before the throne, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Yes, God is righteous, and God is love, and God is just, and God is merciful. But the only attribute of God that is given in the superlative, that is stated three times, is holy, holy, holy. Be holy as I am holy. And did you notice that he said in verse 15, "You be holy yourselves also in all your behavior." Now, your version might have "in all you do" or "in all your conduct" or "in all your manner of living." But I want you to see in each of those, it's the word "all." Be holy in all you do. Does that leave anything out? Any activity, anywhere you go, does that leave any day of the week out? You yourselves be holy in all your behavior. And I especially want you to notice three areas tonight where that might make us uncomfortable. We understand we are to be holy. We understand we are to be holy as He is holy. But I want to remind you that that's in all you do, in all your behavior. And especially in these three ways. Number one, be holy in what you watch. What you choose for your entertainment, whether that be on television or music or the internet, you still have the obligation to be holy in these choices, to be separate, other, and distinct. Verse 13 begins, "Gird your minds for action." Again, you might have a version that used the word "prepare your minds." And that's what girding is. It goes all the way back to the Passover feast when the Israelites were on the eve of their redemption. God was going to pass over and redeem them, all who had put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and the lintel. And they were to be ready to go. Don't even put leaven in the bread. You don't have time for bread to rise. You got your sandals on your feet. Your possessions are packed. And you have your loins girded. Remember, this was a culture where they would have worn long flowing robes, which would have made it difficult to run. And so by girding up your robe, You pulled it and tied it into your belt so that you could be ready. But notice he said this time, gird your minds for action. Prepare your minds. He will say later, to have your hope fixed completely. That's a state of mind. That's what you put into your mind and what you think. And we have to be holy even in things that we choose to watch. Remember that these are things that we're letting our minds dwell on. One of the things we taught David as a young boy growing up is a simple phrase of bounce your eyes. Sometimes you're going to see something that you don't need to see, and so you bounce your eyes, you look away. And there are occasions where you're flipping the channel and you just may need to bounce your eyes, keep flipping. What I'm talking about and things that we watch are things that we choose to be our amusement and entertainment. And we surround ourselves with people that we would never associate with in person. And we go to places that we would never go to in person on the internet. And still think we can be holy. Is that girding and preparing your mind for action? Is that fixing your concentration completely on where it needs to be? Perhaps the question we ought to ask is, how will this help me be holy? Think of that the next time you're tempted to view pornography. How will this help me be holy as He is holy? How will that visual in my mind help me be holy? How will always hearing these words that are profane, ungodly, unholy, how will that help me achieve the holiness of God? Be holy by what you watch. And remember that just because it's the 24-hour news cycle, and that's all I'm watching is the news, that's not necessarily going to help you be holy either. Be holy as I am holy. A little boy was talking about where he was growing up in his house, and he talked about this visitor that would always come over. And he said he would sit in our living room and we'd all listen to him, and he'd tell stories, and it would include humor that was something we didn't laugh at our home, and my mom and dad would get kind of fidgety, but nobody would say anything to him. And then he would use other words that we were taught we couldn't use. And at this point, mom would get up and leave the room. And he said this would go on night after night, week after week. And somebody asked him, well, who was this visitor? Why'd you keep letting him in? And the little boy said, I don't know. We just call him TV. What are we teaching our children about being holy? Be holy in all your behavior, in all your conduct. That includes what you choose to find funny when the Lord's not laughing. Be holy in all your behavior. Number two, in what you say. So holiness is not just about our mind and what we put in, but that's going to be what comes out through our lips. So we have a responsibility to be holy in the words that we use. Now, when Peter says in the next phrase in verse 13, keep sober in spirit, we usually think of sobriety only in the terms of not being drunk. If I'm not inebriated, I'm sober. But again, notice that it's sobriety of spirit. And so, some versions might have the word serious there for sober. But you also might have in the margin the definition of the word, and that is to be self-controlled. To be sober is to have control, to be restrained, to be disciplined. And when you're sober of spirit, then you have control of your temper and your tongue. When I was in high school, I was in a school where most of my friends in junior high had gone to Eisenhower High School, and where I lived, I went to Aldine. And so I didn't know a lot of people, and so I thought I had to fit in. I had to make friends, and that included using words that they used, or at least words I thought I should use to fit in with the world. And do you know that it took a classmate of mine who was not even a Christian to say to me, you shouldn't talk like that. For me to remember, I'm supposed to be showing the holiness of God. And I'm being called out by somebody in the world. Be holy with what you say means that there will be an occasion like with what happened to the Apostle Peter on the night that Jesus was betrayed. Remember, we read that as they led Jesus away, Peter was following at a distance. So he didn't want to be captured or arrested with Jesus, but he still wanted to see what was going to happen. And so while Jesus was on trial, Peter was there warming himself by the charcoal fire. And somebody recognized him. And they said, you were with Jesus. You're one of his disciples. And when Peter denied the Lord, his speech gave him away. That is, they could tell by his dialect that he was a Galilean, where all of Jesus' apostles save Judas were from. And so that's what the little servant girl said to Peter at the fire in Matthew 26 and verse 73. The reason she was able to put him as a disciple of Jesus, she said, the way you talk makes you evident. The way you talk makes you evident. Question. Does the way you talk make you holy? Would the way you talk cause someone to say, you're a disciple of Jesus? Be holy in all your behavior, all your conduct. That goes for what you say. Isn't it interesting that one of the things about our holy God that makes him other and distinct and separate was his name. You shall not take the Lord, the name of the Lord your God, in vain. What does that do? It profanes it. It's to use it in an unholy way. And just because you're not speaking the words, "Oh my God," doesn't give you the right to just abbreviate it. And I've fought this battle and keep losing, but this is a hill I'm willing to die on. Does a Christian saying "that sucks" make you holy? Be holy in all your conduct. What you watch and what you say. Does your speech make you holy? There are some words that are just unholy. And number three, be holy in what you wear. Goes in our mind, comes out of our lips, and is manifested in how we arrange our outward appearance. If we're going to be holy in all manner of living, in all conduct, then that's going to include what we choose to wear. Verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance. So the King James has the literal there when he says conformed. That literally is fashioning yourselves. Don't be conformed to the former lust. Don't fashion yourself after what you came out of, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. I'll never forget the first time that I went to the Harris County Jail as a visitor. Boy, I got some weird looks there. There's a dress code for visitors to the Harris County Jail. It surprised me. I looked it up last week. They haven't changed since that first visit. Here they are. No revealing and or see-through clothing. No sleeves shorter than halfway down the upper arm. No dress, skirts, shorts above mid-thigh. Now, my purpose of reading that to you is not saying, well, we've got to have a dress code here like they have at the Harris County Jail. But I want you to see that what you wear, as admitted by this dress code at the jail, has an effect on other people. Or they wouldn't care. They don't care anywhere else. But what you wear is going to have an effect on the person you're visiting or other people who are there. And so there's a standard to attain. If that is so, could it be that what we choose to wear can also have an effect on people who are trying to worship? And so the question then becomes, not just can I wear this and be holy myself, but can I wear this and other people can still be holy? Be holy in what you wear. Remember, we're distinct. We're separate. We're other than. doesn't mean Christians can have no fashion sense. But it comes with the question, can I wear this and be holy? Can I wear this and somebody else still have their hope fixed completely on the grace that is to come? Because if the question is no, I need to change clothes. Be holy in all manner of living. That goes for what we wear. And may I just say, that goes for a wedding day. That goes for recreation in all your conduct. Be holy in what you wear. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Holiness is what God has always wanted from His people. Old Testament, New Testament. He wants a people who are His own possession. He doesn't have anyone like His children. And one day, we, like Isaiah and John, will stand before Him who is holy, holy, holy. Let's do so with a life that strives for holiness in all we do, so we can be like Him for eternity. Our brother has chosen a song of invitation tonight for those who need to be right with the Lord before we leave tonight. Jesus' blood was shed so you could become holy, so you could escape the corruption of the world and have all your sins washed away. You need to do that tonight. We have some who need to confess Jesus, to repent of their sins and be baptized. Why do you wait? If you need to come back to Him, if you need encouragement and prayers of your spiritual family, let us help. But do it right now while we stand up and while we sing.